you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. And for those that are visiting that don't know me, I am Damaris John's husband. And okay, you'll get that. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, verses number 10 and 11. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Let's go forth in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for protecting us on the roads in this weather. We know our grass really appreciates the rain that you've given us. I'm just so thankful for this opportunity, Lord. We pray for Pastor as he is preaching also. And I'm just asking you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit just to guide and direct, Lord. May he lead and direct where it is needed, and may we be reproved or corrected in any manner in which we walk. It is in your Son's precious name we pray, and God's people would say, amen. Amen. As we get started, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians at a vulnerable time in his life. He had learned that the church at Corinth was struggling, and he sought to take action to preserve the unity of that local body of believers. We know that the Corinthians were a carnal church. Some of the members were doing things immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 speaks more about that, so if you want to write that down and go through there later on. But they were just dealing with a lot of carnal Christians and things that should not have been taking place in the church or amongst their body. But before we get started, I want to go over a few terms, if you don't mind. Sorrow, a feeling of deep distress caused by loss, disappointment, or other misfortune suffered by oneself or others. Regret, a feeling of sadness, repentance, or disappointment over something that has happened or been done. Repentance, a change of mind as it appears to one who repents and of a purpose he has formed or of something he or she has done. In this passage, we're going to discuss, or we're going to look at two types of sorrow, one being a godly sorrow, another one being a worldly sorrow. What is the difference in how one leads to everlasting life and the other one leads to death? There are many people or many examples in the Bible which will show us godly sorrow versus the worldly sorrow and how it was demonstrated. There are two men that we will look at and how they handled their sorrows. Worldly sorrow is basically nothing more than remorse. Worldly sorrow is destructive because it's simply being sorry for one's actions. Worldly sorrow is not a changed life, but it is a defeated and destructive life. Another source of this worldly sorrow is a rejection of the grace and the need we feel to bear the penalty for our wrongs. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. Ten years ago, my family and I came to Plantation Baptist. Brother Jay's wife, Amy Hartzell, was teaching my daughters piano. And when I came to Plantation Baptist, I was a broken man. And so the Lord has placed this on my heart, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you, because this is not about Ricardo. This is about God's word. Amen? Matthew chapter 26, verse number 14 and 15. This one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. As we see here, Judas was cohorting with the priests about selling Christ to them. And their price was 30 pieces. Notice he didn't even dictate the price. They did. And for those that don't know who Judas Iscariot was, he was one of the disciples that walked with Christ. He saw the miracles. He was there. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter number 27. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned. Do me a favor and highlight or underline, when he saw that he was condemned. Repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that? And he cast down the pieces of the silver in the temple and departed, and he went and hanged himself. Here's a man that walked with Christ, was there with him, heard his word, and still yet, when you look at that right there, it says that Judas was remorseful, but he was remorseful because of the looks that he got. He was more concerned about what people were going to think about him. He was more concerned with his reputation. He, per se, it says that he was remorseful because he gave up innocent blood, but he was more concerned about what the world thought, not about what Christ thought about what he had just did. Interesting enough, go with me to John chapter number 8, because we're going to pay attention to that word condemned. And that's what worldly sorrow does. It condemns you. If we were honest right now, there's maybe some of us in here that Lord knows what has taken place, and you're suffering from a sorrow, and you just can't get over it, and you don't know what, you know, wow, why is this continuing? Why am I continuing to feel this way? And you may be suffering from that worldly sorrow. Are we there, John chapter 8? Let me hear you say amen. All right, verse number 11. Now, mind you, this is the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. And now notice it says, and she said, no man, Lord. And that Jesus said unto her, neither do I, what's that word? Condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now go with me to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Verse number 16. Let's go with verse number 16. And the Bible reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son unto the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus walked with Christ, but he worshiped and idolized money. Judas had worldly sorrow. He wanted to please the world. Worldly sorrow is nothing but remorse and regret for the consequences of our action. It has no redeeming qualities. It only put us under a burden of our guilt. Worldly sorrow. Judas was felt condemned. He cared about what people were going to think about him. And all he had to do was just bow that knee, turn to the Savior and say, forgive me, for I've sinned against thee. That simple. But he cared more about what people thought. He cared more about his reputation. He cared more about that money. He thought that money probably was going to bring him happiness. But all it did is just bring him despair, guilt, and through his own hands, killed himself. Now let's look at the other side of the other sorrow, the godly sorrow. Now mind you, You can tell I'm nervous. The title of my message is The Tale of Two Sorrows versus I'm Sorry, But I'm Really Not Sorry. You never heard two titles, huh? I'll allow you to pick whatever title you want to make the message. Go with me now to, we're going to talk about King David. Acts chapter number 13, verse number 22. Acts chapter number 13, verses number 22. Some of you know the story. Pastor touched on it last week. And might I add, it is not easy doing a Sunday school lesson and then being prepared for Sunday. For Sunday evening service. But that's what our pastor does. Sunday evening, Wednesday, here we go all over again. But we need to pray for our pastor because I tell you, my stomach is knots. Acts chapter 13, verse number 22. Are you there? All right. And when he had removed him, he raised him up unto them, David, to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. King David, who was a shepherd and had the heart of God, had godly sorrow. David wanted to please the Lord, and he walked with God. One walked with him physically, and the other one walked with him in his heart. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 11. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. Now, I know Pastor went over the story last week, and for the sake of time and to for those that may have not been there, go with me as 2 Samuel chapter number 11, verses number 1. Let's start with number 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Now, before we get started any further, this hit me like a ton of bricks. Verse number 3, and David sent and inquired after the woman. And the one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? That was a warning for David right there. Notice that it doesn't tell you who that one was, the name, what position held. That person right there, male or female, reminded him, you're asking me to go and send for a married woman, you know. And David right then and there should have said, you're right. But as we all know, he didn't. So let's go a little bit further. Go with me now. And David sent messengers, and he took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and I said, and said, I am with child. And David sent Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. I would like to say that there was a moment of regret there. The Bible doesn't tell you that, but his plan, the motions, his wheels were turning from right there. Do me a favor, go and get Uriah for me. Send them to me. I truly do believe that he had regret when she came and told him that I'm with child. But the Bible doesn't say that, so we'll go forth. Now go with me now, verse number 21 of 2 Samuel 11:21. And wait, let me back up a little bit. And for the sake of time, and we know that he sent for Uriah. He wanted Uriah to come home. He was in battle. He wanted to look upon his wife, and Pastor touched upon it last week too. Man, I haven't seen my wife in all this time. Let me go be with my wife. And Uriah was such a righteous man that he didn't. He said that I can't leave my men like that. And he slept at the king's door. And King David was hoping that he would have did what he thought any other man would have done. And thus that would have helped him cover his sin even further. And as we know that your sin will not remain uncovered or covered. It will be uncovered. Verse number 21. And who smote Abinadab, the son of Jerubbabel? There's a TH in there. Did not a woman cast a piece of milestone upon him from the wall? That he died in Thebes? Why went ye nigh to the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had done or had sent him for. And the messenger said unto him, David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Okay, now we're going to see that David's really going to get upset about this. Let's see. Then David said unto his messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee. For the sword of devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. I could be wrong. I didn't see David mourning when he found out that Uriah was dead. But this is the same David that says, that Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. Verse number 27, and when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Let me say it one more time. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. I always say that David's story is like an episode from 1 48. Adultery, murder, covet, lying, stealing. It's all right there. Go with me now to okay, you see, getting all flustered now. Now, David's repentance. Go to 2 Samuel chapter number 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and he said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come upon him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. Have you ever wondered why Nathan gave David that parable? Because David was a shepherd. David fought bears and lions for that one lamb. He cared about his flock. He had a shepherd's heart. And David had to go right in and say, listen, you are that man. You took that man's lamb. So King David deals with his sorrow in a totally different way. Now, if you would with me, let's go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. So we have the worldly sorrow, which leadeth to death, and we have godly sorrow, which leadeth to everlasting life. As we said before, Judas was right there with Christ. He walked with him. He saw the miracles. He was there. He saw what Christ had done. He saw the forgiveness that only could have been given by Christ. But still yet, he killed himself. He hung himself. Because his sorrow was too great, or what he thought other people would think about him was too great. And now we have King David, which was a man after God's own heart, handled the situation a lot differently. Go with me to Psalm 51. If you're there, so let me hear you say amen. Okay, that means you're still awake. If the person next to you is dozing off, give him an elbow. Psalm 51. So let's see. If right now, if you sit here and you're in the midst of a worldly sorrow, a godly sorrow, how do you handle that? How do you handle that? Let's see how King David handled it. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and behold me, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. A broken and contrite heart, for thou desirest not sacrifice. Else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings, and whole burnt offering, then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. So if you have a pen and pad, we're going to go over a few things that I would find that would lead to comfort and that would deliver you into a godly sorrow. Look with me to verse number 1 of Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Note the emphasis of completeness. Sins are blotted out by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, that was a little weak, but okay. When your sins are blotted out, they are covered, never to be seen in God's presence again. Look at verse number 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Ask God for total forgiveness. Ask God for total forgiveness. That is the only one that forgives. That is the only one that does not hold condemnation over you. Sins that are under the blood of Christ are never in the mind of God. Does God know your past sins? Yeah. Are they on his mind when I come to him in the name of Jesus? No. Next one, ask God for a clean heart. Ask God for a clean heart. Look with me on verse number 2 now. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Look with me on verse number 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Notice how David keeps coming back to the effect of his sin in his own soul. He is asking God, cover my sin in your presence. But more than that, wash me. Wash the effects from my life of sin. David's heart led him into sin. Sinful acts come from a sinful heart. So he asked, what will keep me from doing this again? He didn't want to go on repeating the same sin. So he said, create in me a clean heart. Give me a heart that hates what I once loved and despises what I once chose. Slit there and let it marinate a little bit. The only way Judas was going to get over his sin was to ask for forgiveness, ask for a cleansing. And you know what? Even though Judas walked with Christ, I don't believe he was saved. I really don't believe he was saved. That's why you understand when people say, oh, well, I need to see a miracle in order for me to really trust Christ. You had a man that walked with Christ, saw the miracles, knew who he was, and he hung himself. Your blood can't wash me. Let me take matters into my own hand. Next one, ask God for a renewed spirit. Ask God for a renewed spirit. Spiritual mourning is always marked by and infused with hope. And it's funny, we talked about that today. Go with me to Psalm 51, verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Back to verse number 11. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Look at verse number 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. God works all things out for the good to those that love him. All things has to include your sins and failures. You may find that God's greatest work in your life begins at the point of your greatest failure. When Satan tempted you, he meant it for destruction. But God can use it for your everlasting good. That's the power of redeeming love. It's what God does through the cross. Don't waste your sins. Don't waste your failures. What good can God bring out of your greatest failures? Here are a couple, a genuine testimony. Then will I teach transgressors your ways. Let's stop there for a little bit. I think I still have a little bit of time. I don't know where some of you guys came from, your background. You know, we come in here with our suits and our bow tie and our little red flower. We give you a great smile, and there's pain there. And I don't know what pain you have came from, but I do know that Jesus Christ redeems the fallen. And so much so that if you can get over yourself, he can take you, put you right back into service. In Plantation, if you're not from here, we have bulk pickup every once a month. And it's funny, when you throw out your trash or whatever that you've done with or you've had your fill with, somebody will come by in a truck, pick it up, clean it up, sell it, or reuse it. And that's what Christ does. Takes you out of the junkyard, the junk pile, cleans you up, redeems you, puts you right back into service. Yeah, he does. Look at the Bible. The Bible's full of men and women that are broken. Because if they were self-righteous and did everything right, God wouldn't need them because then they would get the glory. So if you're in here and you're broken and just dealing with whatever that may be, you take it to the cross. You repent of it. You change your actions. You change your ways. And you say, God, use me. God, use me. And if it happens again, you take it back to the cross. You know, I can't sit here and tell you, okay, if it happens again, then okay, that, you know, that's it. You're disqualified. Boom, out. No. God will use you. Maybe not to preach, but he will use you. There's a lot of broken people out there in the world. But the question is, are you willing to put away all your hurts for God to use you? So we got a genuine testimony. We're almost done. Stay with me. Heartfelt worship. Psalm 15:15. Open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Isn't it beautiful when you can give testimony as to what you've been brought out from so that you can help others or lead others to Christ? And in conclusion, David was a man after God's own heart because he demonstrated his faith and was committed to following the Lord. Yes, his faith was tested on a grand scale and he failed at times. But after his sin, he sought and received the Lord's forgiveness. In the final analysis, David loved God's law and sought to follow it exactly. As a man after God's own heart, David is a role model for us all. And I'll just say this on a closing note. And I've said it a couple times, but let me just reiterate it. Judas was right there with Christ. He was there. He saw it all. What would you give to have been to have walked with Christ physically like that and see everything that took place? Well, if you go back 1,000 years before that, you had King David. And the difference between both of them is that they both were sinners, but one walked physically with Christ, and the other one walked with him in his heart. That's the difference. Worldly sorrow, godly sorrow. Will you allow the worldly sorrow to destroy you? Or will you seek God's forgiveness so that you can walk in that new life and have godly sorrow and to where you can be used? I love you guys. Thank you so much. And I praise God for this opportunity here.